Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Fresh Atlantic salmon portions, 7-ounce farm-raised, including marinated portions, just $5.99 each. Delicious Hass avocados or mangoes, 4 for $5, or just $1.25 each. This week's digital deal is the delicious Sumo Citrus, $2.47 per pound, limit 4 pounds. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
All right, what is up? We're back. We were not here yesterday because we had to play for you Oregon getting vengeance.
Yes.
Come from behind victory.
On Ohio State. I don't know how Ohio State recovers from that.
No.
They don't.
The Ducks.
No. In fact, I think Texas wins tonight.
Because of that.
It probably derailed them. Yeah.
Ohio State is reeling right now.
I think you're right.
Yes.
As the Ducks went into Columbus and beat the Ohio State men's basketball team.
In a game that we thought was going to be more like the Rose Bowl game. You know, it was back and forth, close game, as opposed to what actually happened in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we weren't here. And then you heard the Penn State Notre Dame game, which we're going to cover that. And then we'll get into tonight's game between Ohio State and Texas. We will have Joey Harrington at his normal time, 5:30. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we have going on. In the interest of keeping with the theme that we started with regards to this game, because there's a lot to discuss here.
There is a lot to discuss.
Just real quick on the theme of backups, we were talking about the backup quarterbacks. But, you know, Notre Dame had, I think, 2 offensive linemen go down in that game.
They did, and they were already down 2 offensive linemen for the year. I mean, they have a lot of injuries.
They're like
the Detroit Lions of college football.
But they won. So I feel like, do we overrate or maybe overemphasize injuries too much? Because, I mean, if you had told me that Notre Dame would fall down 10-0, Riley Leonard would go into the concussion tent or whatever, however they do it in college.
Yeah, same thing. 10.
And 2 more offensive linemen for Notre Dame would leave the field. I would be like, they're done. I mean, Penn State's going to run away with it. They were up 10-0. And so how is it that they won? I mean, how does that happen?
I think, well, 2 things.
Other than we just overvalue.
Well, 2 things. 1, Penn State was Penn State. I mean, honestly, if Drew Aller just plays a decent game.
Yeah, that's true.
It's 21-0 at the half.
Yeah.
And we're not having this conversation. Penn State, much like they did with Boise State, Penn State came out and clearly was the more physical, better team. And they let Notre Dame hang around. And when you do that and you let teams get comfortable, weird things can happen. And then for the backups, yes, it is a big deal. And some of this, like Notre Dame, after the injuries, they could not block Penn State's front. I mean, it's kind of shocking that they even got a couple scores in there. Carter and the other DN for Penn State, I mean, they were just having their way. That poor bastard backup tackle that came in, he was getting no help. I was actually enraged at Notre Dame. I hate when teams do this. And Saban was talking about it at the half. He's like, you got to chip this. You got to do something. Carter only has 1 good arm. And I get it. He's the best edge rusher in college football. He's playing with 1 arm, and Notre Dame's just taking their backup tackle and being like, well, good luck out there.
Well, they won, though.
They won. But yes, at times, I get it. The backup can come in, and you can stabilize things. But especially in the world of college football, dude, injuries are really, really hard to overcome, especially if you get them in groups and especially if they're at key positions. I am shocked that Notre Dame was able to overcome it. So can we make too much of it? Sure, I guess, when it doesn't go your way. But more often than not, when you have an injury-riddled team It really is. It's a war of attrition, and it's hard to overcome.
I get that. Generally speaking, yeah. I understand that. But I feel like in the heat of the moment, oftentimes the backups come in, and they don't, and you don't even notice it. Yeah. Like it's not as big of a thing sometimes as we make it out to be. But you're right. I mean, they could not block Penn State.
No.
At the same time, I don't really understand how it happens that they come out in the second half and march right down the field on them.
Well, and I think Jeremiah Love, the Notre Dame back, I think he went in and got a little of the needle because he looked like a different player in the second half. I think someone, and he even went and was hurtling. That touchdown run he had where he just kept driving his
beastly legs,
that looked like a different player. Maybe that was one of those that, hey, I don't want to do this. Oh, my God, I need us in the second half, and I'm going to go in there and take some magic juice. Because he did look like a different player. And without him, they don't win.
Did you hear his quote after the game?
What'd he say?
He said, "We went out there and played like the dogs that we are. We ain't no little dogs. We're big dogs. They was the little dogs today. We're little cats, whatever you want to call them."
Damn. You know, well, he only had 11 rushes.
Yeah. Yeah. And so he just, but
11 for 45.
But the first half was like 3 for 10.
And the second half, he was the difference maker. Oh, yeah. There, I mean,
I don't know.
Look, that was one of those
a weird game.
I can't figure out how Notre Dame won that game.
There are so many things that it's like, what is happening?
Well,
how are they doing this?
And if you're Penn State, you are now what, 0-11 against top 5 teams, or it might be 0-12.
Well, Franklin's 1-15 against the top 5. Franklin is. Yeah.
Well, okay, so
against the AP top 5.
It's been like 10 years since you've beat one. That is by far your best opportunity. You were playing a Notre Dame team that did not have a good quarterback, that was down multiple front seven guys off a good defense, playing with four backup offensive linemen, essentially two that went out during that game, two more over the course of the season. And you were physically mauling them. And somehow, and by the way, Notre Dame's best offensive player was playing on one leg and really only played a half of a football game. And somehow you still managed to lose that? I mean,
can we blame?
It's kind of shocking, but at the same time, Penn State gonna Penn State and Drew Aller gonna Drew Aller.
Yeah, can we just blame Drew Aller on this one?
You probably can. Because, come on,
everything else,
it worked.
They should have won.
They should have won.
So I guess you could pin it on Franklin because that's what he does.
Yeah.
But I don't know how it's Franklin's fault that Drew Aller literally looked like he had never played in a big game before in his life.
Well,
like,
that first drive where they settled for three, he had his running back wide open and he like threw it at his ankles.
Threw it at his feet. Yeah. Yep. Oh, dude. I mean, we could count the ways Drew Aller.
That's why I said if he just played.
Screwed up.
Average.
If he just played a solid game.
Not even that.
It's 21-0 at the half.
He threw two picks that were taken away by penalties.
Yes.
Okay, so you got lucky on those.
Yeah.
Like Buck said, if he just throws that first touchdown pass at the guy's helmet, there's 4 points right there.
Another one, Warren, where he overthrew him by
Oh, he overthrew several guys.
You know.
But in the second half, he looked a little better. I guess maybe my question about it is, because that was a puzzling football game.
Yeah.
What should Franklin and Kotelnicki have done? Like, when you know your quarterback may be in over his head,
mm-hmm.
what do you do? Like, because I felt like they actually managed it pretty well. Because once they got down into the red zone, you notice they just ran it.
They just ran it.
They did not trust him.
No, and they ran the ball for 5 yards a clip. I actually think, believe it or not, this is why I'm not, I kind of said Drew Aller is going to Drew Aller. I don't necessarily think this one's on James Franklin.
That's what I mean. I think it's on the quarterback.
I think it's on the quarterback.
They did the best they could.
Because even at the end, when people are like, what are you doing? There was almost a minute left.
Yes,
there was
47
seconds.
With timeouts.
I think you had all three timeouts.
I think that's right.
You cannot kneel on the ball.
Agreed.
And just be like, you got to go for it. You got to go for it.
Because you're Penn State. You're known for kneeling there or like being too conservative. Dude, this was your chance.
You got to go. And
he screwed it up.
A third read late across your body over the middle. I mean, I sat there and looked at that and I really could not believe it when he threw that ball. I just was like, oh my God. And if you're James Franklin, you're just sitting there and you just have to be sick to your stomach and be like, I don't think this is on me. And I don't think it's on the coaching staff. I thought they did a nice job. And like you said, I thought they managed the game. I really did. And
there were a couple of bad third downs that, you know, because they were Notre Dame was able to force a couple of key punts. Like James Franklin said, the key in that game was third down. And I think Notre Dame might have been
amazing on third down.
They were 11 of 17 or something.
Yep, 11 of 17. And Penn State was 3 of 11.
A lot of that was Riley Leonard's legs.
Yeah.
But yeah, Penn State being 3 of 11, a couple of those were key drives. If they just move the chains, it changes the complexity of the game. Yep. But I think there were a couple of them were third and shorts.
Yes.
And they, you know,
this is where I give Notre Dame credit. And this is why I liked Notre Dame in this game, even though I get Notre Dame's flawed and the injuries scared me. But Notre Dame runs the ball and they play good defense and that travels. And I'll give Notre Dame credit because at the beginning of that game, Penn State was pushing them around and bullying them. And somewhere along the line, I honestly think what happened was they realized that Drew Aller wasn't going to throw the ball. And some of that is on.
And that's what I was getting at. Is I feel like on those third and shorts, if you do want to blame the coaching staff, maybe it's the OC, maybe it's James Franklin, whoever it is, they got a little too conservative.
They did.
Look, Drew Aller, I know, was having a bad game, and they know he was having a bad game. But a couple of those times, like, isn't there, Suk, you're the football guy.
Yeah.
There's got to be something you can do. Can you roll him out?
Yes.
Can you?
Yes.
And I know they hit a few screens, but maybe a few more higher percentage short yardage plays that aren't runs right up the middle that Notre Dame knows is coming.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I thought there were times when I was watching that in the second half, and I have not gone back and actually watched the 22 or gone back and watched the game. But there were three or four times when I was watching that when I was like, There's times when a defense gives you a look that just says, we dare you to do something other than run the ball. Notre Dame, a handful of those times, were playing 9 guys at the line of scrimmage, 9 in the box. And I was like thinking to myself, all right, if you're Penn State, you have got to either bootleg out or find Warren on something. And they just didn't trust it. That reminded me very much of when Ohio State played Michigan and Will Howard was having that game.
Yeah.
Ohio State did the same thing where they said, our defense is good enough and we're going to run the ball and we don't think you can score more. The only time that they really tried to open it up was when they had to, because Notre Dame had gotten the lead back and they were like, oh crap. And then Aller actually had made a play or two. They went down and scored. And then the other time they tried to open it up was when there was 40 whatever seconds left and they were just trying to get into field goal range, and you can't do that throwing the ball.
So one worked out
and the other one didn't.
There were two moments I thought this game was over. One was in the first half.
Oh, yeah.
When it was 10-0 and Leonard left the game,
yeah,
I was like, dude.
Ball game.
31-0.
Yeah.
The second one was when Leonard threw his second interception with 10 minutes left. Yeah. It was Notre Dame took a 17-10 lead, but then Penn State tied it. 17 all, and then Leonard threw the pick in Notre Dame territory. I said right there, it's over.
Yeah.
And they took a 24-17 lead. So I'm sitting there going, you know what? I think that's it.
And then Notre Dame goes 81 yards.
And that was the one where two guys fell down.
Yeah. Which is just another just dumb look. That's what I said. Penn State will go, and I'm giving Notre Dame all the credit. And I picked Notre Dame. I picked Notre Dame to be here at the beginning of this tournament. I said they're going to go play for a national title. They had no business winning that game.
Well,
if those two teams played 10 times, yeah, I'm convinced that Penn State wins 8 of them. But on that night, Aller picked the wrong night to have a horrible game and just a confluence of events. You mentioned two guys fall down, and it was the only real explosive play that Notre Dame had. And it was enough.
They're kind of plucky, though.
They are.
They're plucky. They're kind of fun. I like.
Yes, they're okay playing in deep water.
And they play hard. They get turnovers like crazy. Mm-hmm. I guess they lead the country in creating turnovers. So it's hard kind of not to root for them because you know they shouldn't be here. But I think the bigger thing is, and I'm not going to go back to this for more than 30 seconds, but that bracket was so effed up.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, all the good teams were on one side of the bracket.
Sure.
I mean, Notre Dame being in the final, come on. If that bracket is balanced, Oregon, Ohio State, Texas, if that bracket is balanced, Notre Dame is not in the championship.
I'm sitting there as an Oregon fan watching it saying, I can't believe these two teams are playing for a trip to the final.
I get it.
Not that they shouldn't be there, but just like one of those teams has to play for it all?
That game And the whole Georgia being without their quarterback thing, that game last night, if I'm an Oregon fan, that opened up some old wounds. Like, dude, really?
Damn it, really?
We've already beaten one of these teams, and surely they could have beaten Notre Dame.
Can anyone complete a pass longer than 15 yards?
The only thing I'll say to that, if you're an Oregon fan, because I know that hurts, and I think you've beaten one of those, and Oregon can beat any of those teams. That Penn State offense lit you up.
Drew Allard tore
you a new one.
But so, he also drew Allard.
He threw the pick. Yes, he did.
At the end of that game.
Yes, he did.
So
Drew Allard's going to Drew Allard.
But you know what? If he plays the way he did in the Big Ten championship game, they win that game.
By a lot.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
By a lot.
Just make a couple throws, man.
Also, does it make you feel bad about Oregon's defense? Even worse about Oregon's defense?
Oh, probably. We're getting some of that on the text line, too. People are like, I watched it thinking, my God, like, do we have a problem with Tosh? Do we have a problem with the defensive side of the ball?
Because of what Penn State's offense did to Oregon.
Right.
Yeah.
I went back and looked. It was that the big third down stop. It was third and two, and Notre Dame had nine guys at the line. And
they still ran
Aller up. And I'm like, that's where, like, to me...
Yeah,
you got to find a way to get something on the edge. You as an OC, especially one that's so creative, you have got to come up with something a little wonky to get something on the edge, move the pocket a little bit, as opposed to we're just going to try to be more physical than you. And I get it. In the first half, you were, but in that second half, Notre Dame had bowed their back and they were playing with fire. And third and two, I just don't love Drew Allard. And and by the way, you got two backs that are averaging 5 yards a carry.
Give it to one of them.
And you decide, this is like what they did at the goal line at against Ohio State.
Yep.
They had four plays inside like the 8 yard line, and Warren and Allen and Singleton didn't touch the ball. Like that's like one of those
I'm often stunned that in short yarded situations, particularly in the red, you know, like inside the five or the 10, I'm often stunned at how oftentimes good coordinators and teams and offenses can't freaking score.
No, because
they can't get the first down. They get four shots at it and they kick a effing field goal.
And so many times, too, when everyone's just jammed in there, all it takes is one little wrinkle to get outside of it and you walk in.
And they never try it.
No, they just love playing in the box.
I guess Penn State did. It's just Aller missed the throw. Anyway.
And maybe that's this whole conversation.
So Kotelnicki's like, dude, don't blame me.
To that.
All right. More on that. We'll wrap up that game. I do want to tell you that it is hard to beat AP top five teams, although James Franklin is particularly bad at it. A couple of other numbers on that. And then can the Longhorns pull it off tonight in Dallas? Coming up, here's Buck.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
All right, coming up here shortly, we will get into Texas, Ohio State. Kickoff 4:45-ish?
Yeah, it said 4:30, but yesterday it was 4:45, 4:50, so I'm assuming it'll be about the same.
They always have some pomp and circumstance.
Yeah, you got to do something, and there's a ceremonial coin toss, and I don't know, whatever you're doing.
I love that ref last night, the white hat.
Yeah.
He was great. Kind of handsome, too.
A lot of refs nowadays are. You know, I do think that we're entering a golden age of in-shape, handsome refs, and I think you have to credit...
And they know it.
Hockley.
Yeah, well, Hockley gets the credit for all refs having more self-awareness. It's like they're all like, oh yeah, we are on national TV just like the players every time.
And better now, have some guns.
Yeah, now you're getting the guys like the white hat. They're very dramatic.
Yeah.
You know, they know that
they're
it's
playing
their time.
It up.
Yeah, it's their time to shine.
And... By the way, totally unrelated and pertaining to nothing. World's worst clock operator last night?
Yeah. How many times
Who
do you
was
have to
on
reset
the clock?
The and they even said at one point, they're like, dude, he's just not... It's a
they
first
had
down,
to
stop the clock.
They had to reset the clock every play. The official had to come on, please reset the clock to 20 seconds. Please reset the clock to 15. Well, what was that guy doing?
I got an idea.
Who was it?
Well,
was he high?
That was my thing.
Or was he a Penn State fan or a Notre Dame fan?
I think he was just high. I think maybe not everyone's been there, but...
Probably some old guy.
If you've ever taken an edible or you took one too many puffs and you thought you were fine and then like you're like, oh my God, you're not fine, and then you have to do a real task, it can be rough. And my guess is that I thought that thing last night when I was watching that, I was like, oh, dude, my dude is baked up there.
He's got to be something.
Was he just, too stressed out about it? So he needed to like take the edge off?
Well, yeah. Just stop the clock. Well, I mean, it's not that hard. They blow the whistle, stop the clock. God.
It is that hard, apparently.
World's worst clock operator.
He did seem to be having some problems. Just to
if you're noticing it at home, it's like...
Well, when they have to say something on the broadcast, yes. That might be the first time I've ever heard a broadcaster say something about the clock operator.
By the way, that guy's great. Sean, was that guy Sean McDonough?
McDonough, yeah.
Sean McDonough.
He's fantastic.
Yeah.
One of my faves.
Yeah.
And the guy, Greg McElroy?
Yeah.
He's pretty good, too.
You like McElroy?
He's okay.
He's all right.
He does fine.
He's not my favorite guy in the world, but he's fine.
He'll do in a pinch.
Maybe Drew Aller's dad was up there operating the clock.
Perhaps. Yeah. Or the Jeter family. You know, I've never seen a kicker's family.
So much?
So, yeah. It's like the quarterback's family.
Yes.
Like, the kicker's family doesn't gather like that.
No.
But for Mitch Jeter, they do.
Yeah.
And how about Mitch Jeter's dad filming on his iPhone as if he can't get a better version of the game-winning kick from the team?
That blows me away. especially in that, like, the people who are like... courtside sitting there and you're like, you could just watch someone else's version of the moment and enjoy it yourself.
Dude, you're Mitch Jeter's dad. I better get this on film or else nobody's going to know it happened. Nobody's going to be able to see it. We're all watching it, Dr. Jeter. Good grief.
Well,
anyway.
That's the most that the Jeter family will ever...
They're great, though.
They're great, yeah.
They're there supporting their little kicker guy.
Well, wearing
their little kicker kid.
From South Carolina.
Well, anyway, just a couple numbers. We'll wrap up this game. But James Franklin, we all know the number or the stat. Yeah. He is now 1-15 against the AP top five, which is dreadful. But I did want to
Top
five. Some context.
Yeah, top. But this is where beating top five teams for any coach is hard.
Well, did you know? And I think they showed this on SportsCenter last night. I don't think it was during the broadcast, but I think it was on SportsCenter after. Do you know what Frank Beamer's record was against AP top five?
Frank Beamer?
Yeah, the old Beamer. Yeah.
No, I don't.
1-21.
Ooh.
He was the original James Franklin.
He was.
And nobody talks about it.
Well, I do know, and so I don't know the exact number, but I've seen this in regards to, you know, they've talked about this with like Bo Pelini or when, you know, there's about a million coaches that have this problem. Even some of the greats are around 50-50. When you're playing a top five team, like, you don't win 75% of those games. There's a lot of people with 50-50 or slightly below 50-50, especially... And I'm not trying to throw shade at Penn State. Penn State has built themselves into a much better roster over the handful of years. But most of the time when over these 11 years that he's been there, when they play a top five team, they are at a significant, athletic gap, especially those early days of Penn State.
And it's usually Michigan and Ohio State.
Yes.
And his record against Michigan and Ohio State is dreadful.
Yes.
But also crappy against top five teams, Mark Stoops, and that's to your point about how you're fighting an uphill battle because you don't have the talent, but Stoops at Kentucky, he is 0-11.
Yeah.
And then you know who else is really bad against AP top five teams? Mm. Interestingly enough, Steve Sarkisian, 1-5.
Yeah.
Maybe 1-6 after tonight.
Probably. It's really hard to beat those teams, especially when in the regular season, most of those, like, well, at least half of them are going to be on the road. And so, yes, Franklin needs to do something different, but you can see progress being made at Penn State. And last night, they should have gotten over the hump.
They're pretty good. They just got to get out of their own way.
They got Mitch Jeter last night.
I don't think they did. I think they got Drew Allard.
They did. Just after the game, his face,
I kind of felt bad for him.
I did, but at the same time, it's the most punchable face in college football and the headband, and he looks like he's 8 years old. And
He seemed so in over his head.
Yes.
And I can't say I've ever seen that from a top-level quarterback like that.
Well, Riley Leonard looked like that way, too. No one could get the playoff.
Yeah.
It's just panic.
He did look like that.
Panic.
Well, anyway, after all that happened in one of their finest seasons ever, Penn State... Their best win, they beat Illinois.
Yeah.
After all of, well, I guess you could say SMU or Boise State, if you want to count. I mean, their best three wins, this was one of their best seasons ever.
Yeah.
They beat SMU, Boise State, and Illinois. They lost to Oregon, they lost to Ohio State, and they lost to Notre Dame.
But they made it to the Final Four.
That's what I said. It's one of their best seasons.
One of the best seasons ever.
Ever. Okay, shut up, Buckley. Buckley's our Drew Aller. He's yelling at me in my headset here.
Better than last night's clock operator, though. Let's go.
Yeah, I'm as bad as that guy is. Hey, please reset the radio clock to 3:45.
We're not allowed.
All right, we'll be right back. Can the Longhorns pull it off in Dallas next on The Fan?